From the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington, exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com, you're listening to The Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
What are you gonna do with a woman? Yet when she got a backdoor friend, what are you gonna do with a woman? Yes, when she got a backdoor friend. She just praying for you to move out, so her backdoor friend can move in.
All right, it's the Brian and Vinny Show, everybody. It is August 26, 2014, here at figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. Here on the show tonight, and we have returned to live programming here on the show. Vinny is here as always. Hi, Vinny.
Hello.
And Craig's here as well. Hi, Craig.
Hi, everybody.
Craig is very upset that he's been relegated to the headset.
I can't hear anything.
Nothing to hear.
You can hear us anyway. We're right here.
Barely.
You cannot hear our voices.
I can hear your voices.
Usually when someone has bad hearing, they speak up.
Right. I don't have bad hearing.
No. Your quiet voice is a sign of great hearing.
Is it louder tonight?
It's great right now.
Is that right?
It's excellent.
Huh.
Craig is very sad that he's been put on the headset, but
I feel like I've been put in the doghouse.
You've been relegated to an idiot-proof mic. To be fair, Craig, it's a combination of you being too quiet,
right,
and Wang not knowing how to use a microphone.
I see.
I finally decided that from now on, even Vinny, I have to yell at every now and then to talk into the microphone. But he's been doing this for how long now, Vinny? 8 years?
I think it is something depressing like that, yes.
So he's kind of got it figured out. So I've allowed him to stay on the real mic. But guests are going to have to use the headset for the time being.
So we can blame all these problems on a Wang.
Sure.
The Wang.
Oh, the Wang.
And your tendency to whisper.
I do that for effect.
Well, the effect is effectively you now have a headset.
I see.
Yes. So that is the update. We're live tonight. So if you want to tweet Craig, he's going to be on Twitter patrol, I'm sure, for most of the evening.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I do that sometimes.
As he normally is. And we were scheduled to have a special guest tonight, but the special guest will not be visiting us, I'm afraid.
Who is a special guest?
Well, Craig, if I told you, the secret would be out of the bag.
Well, he's not here. There's no secret.
He's going to be here on a different night.
On a Tuesday?
Mm-hmm. He'll be here when you're here, Craig. Don't worry.
Will he be here?
Not here in the studio.
I see.
He lives too far away.
Where does he live?
And besides, Craig, if you were here in the studio, you would not even have a headset. You'd just be sitting over there because we only have three.
Right.
Yeah, he's on the East Coast. That's all you guys need.
Aha! Oh, that narrows it down.
Really does. So, yes, we don't have a special guest, but we are live, and we've got some very exciting shows to talk about here tonight, including, what have we got? Raw, everybody's favorite Raw show, and a Clash of the Champions 10, which was chosen by Craig.
Listen.
Go ahead.
I feel bad when we watch these things, okay? I feel like I am responsible because you put me in charge.
So you are responsible.
That's correct.
Okay, but I don't know. I can't remember everything that I watched throughout the years. If it's a crappy show, guess what? I don't remember it.
I don't remember anyone blaming you, Craig.
Vinny just said...
You're blaming yourself.
Vinny said when I walked into the room, he said, you know, earlier tonight, I was cursing you under my breath.
Okay. You know what?
Because I picked it.
Vince curses Vince McMahon. On a weekly basis.
Well, he's a little more successful than I am.
Sure. So what are you worried about? You're in good company.
It's not like
all you're doing is choosing a show, Craig. Maybe the show's good. Maybe the show's bad.
It's not like I can pillow my head on a big pile of money.
I thought this was a worth...
You could. You just don't have a truck anymore.
I thought this was a worthwhile show.
It was fine.
Am I the only one?
It was... It's funny. We'll get into this, but this is the age where I used to videotape every wrestling show. And I remember watching the Sting and Four Horsemen angle about 47,000 times. There were points between that and the Wrestle War rap. There are points on the show that I could recite word for word. I don't remember anything else. And thank God, because most of it was awful.
Yeah, I this age was the videotaping age. I've got a million videotapes in the closet. I think this is why I remember this era much better than today, when we watch a show one time and then say fucking and delete it off the DVR and move on with our lives. It's not like the old days where you'd watch that tape till the thing was just a mess of snow and static.
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
Nothing. I'm agreeing with
He's
you.
He's agreeing with you.
He just disappeared off his mic.
I did? Oh.
Yes. But, yeah, this was a very highly videotaped era. I don't remember this show, however. So it was all new to me this evening. Very, very exciting. But we're going to start with Raw. I want to get that out of the way first. Then we'll go to... What's so funny, Craig?
Get Raw out of the way.
The new shit out of the way.
There is less to talk about
Doom.
There is much less to talk about.
There is no tag team in WWE today that is as awesome as Doom.
That's true.
That's a fact.
None.
Or the Steiners.
I wish Doom would just reunite and wrestle again.
Yeah, actually, why not?
I can't think of a good reason.
Is the natural Butch Reed still with us?
Yeah.
He is?
I'm sure he's still pretty
scary,
too.
He wrestled a couple of years ago.
This is not a bad question.
Well, on this show, it's not.
Okay.
But Butch Reed is doing fine.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, we'll start with Raw.
That's a good idea, Vinny. Thanks for taking charge.
Michael Cole brought out Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, and Shawn Michaels down to the ring. That is quite the trio. I said they were there to discuss the Cena-Lesnar rematch. Story was that Flair and Michaels had no faith in Cena. In fact, Michaels outright said there was no way he could win. Hogan still believed, but Michael said that all three of them at one point had come to a crossroads in their careers and they had known when to say when. And that is not true, because Ric Flair, in storyline and in real life, was dragged kicking and screaming away from his pro wrestling career. So this rant went on for a bit.
Not to mention Hogan, who's still talking about wanting to wrestle Cena at WrestleMania.
Hogan is dropping hints about wrestling Cena. So they debated for a while. I liked Hogan's point where he said Cena had beaten Lesnar in Lesnar's return, so now they were 1-1 and Cena would win the rematch. I'm a nerd, so I wanted to point out they had a match at the Royal Rumble like 10 years ago, and Lesnar won that one too.
Different era.
Yeah. So finally, Cena came out to speak for himself. He was not his usual happy-go-lucky personality. He put the legends over, said they were all tremendous influences in his career, but he was sick of their talk. He said, yes, SummerSlam was an ass-whipping, a 100% beatdown, but now he was a changed man. He was not going to take a beating like that again. He was going to take the fight to Brock. He said he was going to Night of Champions not to beat Brock Lesnar, but to beat Brock Lesnar's ass.
Wow.
He made his point, left the ring, and there's a short, sweet, to the point promo. I don't know if it convinced anyone to buy the pay-per-view, but it was fine.
You know, sometimes you have a pet peeve.
Yes.
In reality, it's something that... it's something that you do, but when other people do it, it bugs you.
I see, yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Something about Cena coming out here, and two of the three guys just buried him. Flat out said that he should just retire. He comes out here, and he has to start with, I have the utmost respect for you guys. You're such legends.
Gosh, who does that?
It's what I'm talking about. It's what I'm saying right here. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but just get to the point. Just talk about how pissed off you are that they are doubting you. Anyway. Yeah.
Shawn Michaels came out, and my son.
Want to know who the homeless guy was?
No.
Oh.
Yelled to the kitchen, Mom, your boyfriend's on TV.
Wow. Craig cackles.
I just think it's awesome.
Yeah. Craig's fine with this.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. You'd what?
Nothing. Move on. Go on, Vinny.
Craig, that's unacceptable.
I didn't say nothing about nothing.
Unacceptable. I'm not that big a fan of anybody.
No?
And Vinny, are you?
I don't even know what you guys are talking about. Don't ask me.
You can't figure this out, you idiot.
It
started out with Craig saying, I'd let, and then stopping himself. I mean, come on.
I assume he'd let him sleep on his couch if he had.
Oh, sure. You did Ed in San Antonio?
I'd let him over. Oh, God.
Right.
Ed did not sleep in San Antonio.
Ed slept on his couch.
Actually, you're right.
I only let Rodney in my house.
Wow.
That Ed guy.
Poor Ed.
Bringing his weed and
well, there is that. There is that. But he's your co-host, Craig.
No. He's my... Let's not talk about this.
Go on, Vinny. We need to get Wang and Craig together. My God, the conversations they'd have.
About what?
Go on, Vinny.
MTV.
Your porn vault.
Don't get me started on that.
By the way, this is for you, Vinny. You'll thank me for interrupting you.
I doubt it, but go ahead.
I must apologize and say that I was wrong. Because on Sunday's show, I was chastising you for watching all of Anaconda. And I told you that you should have just watched the highlight clip that I had seen.
Yes.
So, after you were gone, you had been raving about this video. And I was like, maybe I should just watch it. What the hell is he talking about? This is the best music video I've ever seen. It's incredible. Wasn't it?
It is incredible.
It is incredible. Craig, you need some sort of blocker, because when Cameron finds this, he's going to go through puberty immediately.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. No joke.
What am I supposed to do with that?
Vinny knows. All right, let's move on now. But you were right, Vinny. I was wrong.
Well, thank you for giving it a second chance.
Terribly wrong. I've never been so wrong, actually, about anything in my life. Quite frankly. Well,
I'm glad this injustice has been righted.
Oh, it sure has. It sure has. If you're listening to this and you've not seen the Anaconda video.
Guilty.
And you were a male, you need to get on that. Go on, Vinny. You won't need TRT. Just watch this video. We can continue now.
Are you sure?
I think so.
To be fair, we're just going to talk about Rusev and Swagger.
And Lana.
Not that exciting. Lana was out there. Well, there you go. It is true that Rusev, in his time in the main roster, has improved a lot. He is much more comfortable and poised out there, but did this match need to go this long?
Oh, don't even get me started.
It went a long fucking time, and it went back and forth for a while, and then Rusev was kicking the shit out of him, and Swagger was selling the ribs, and then the referee stopped it. Yes. Rusev wins via TKO.
Indeed. I was thinking about this in the car today because Dave and I argued about this because I thought this was so excruciatingly long that I would have left the room if I were a fan. I would have turned the channel and watched like Anaconda. This match, his argument was, it's good to have a new finish, ref stoppage, right?
Yes.
Because now you can add drama to a match. Like when Brock is killing John Cena, they can be concerned that maybe the referee is going to stop the match if John Cena doesn't do something. You can add an extra level of drama to the match. As I was thinking about this, my argument was, instead of having this go on for 35 minutes before the referee stops it, how about if you had like a good commentator, like Jim Ross, for example, that was screaming and pleading with the referee to stop the match. So when the match was stopped, it felt justified. Maybe if your announcers were horrible and useless, you wouldn't have to waste so much of my time with this beating.
This match was fine, but I'm tired of seeing it.
Well, it's probably done.
I mean, it's the same match every time. And while it is good, this is getting to the point of the Wyatts and the Usos again. I mean, you even got Rusev, selling his ankle every time to a comical degree to where you actually think he's actually hurt. It's pretty amazing the way he sells that. It's awesome.
Yes.
But I'm just tired of it. I'm glad to see Swagger moving on to Bo.
Well, at the TKO finish, I thought, I'm fine with using that as a finish, but it buried Swagger, I thought. Little did I know. So they go backstage. Doctors are tending to Jack Swagger's ribs. And Bo Dallas arrives, and the doctors leave, and Bo Dallas is standing 3 feet away from Jack Swagger.
Right.
And he buries him deep beneath the earth. He's losing again and again and again. He's let the entire nation down. He needs to start Bo leaving. And Swagger just sat there and took it.
Actually, he sat there and he
seethed.
Grunted.
Yeah. Like, he wouldn't have had to stand up to punch him. They were that close. They couldn't have had doctors there holding Swagger back, ordering him not to fight. Something.
Or maybe Swagger realized he's right.
Or
I am a complete loser.
Either way,
I have lost every big match. I have let my country down repeatedly. Everyone is right.
Yes, he came off completely neutered and impotent here.
Yeah.
Maybe he needs to watch Anaconda.
I see what he did there. See that, Vinny?
Yes, yeah. Eric, I see that. Cesaro versus Rob Van Dam is a top contenders match for the U.S. title, which I swear to God I had forgotten existed.
The U.S. title?
Yes. Yeah. Sheamus is still champion. I had forgotten that.
I thought Luger was the champion. That's how confused I was.
Yeah. So I had this match with absolute, literal, true to fact, zero heat. No one cared. Cesaro snapped Rob's neck of the ropes. Rob took a very goofy bump. Cesaro stared at Sheamus and hit the neutralizer for the win. Then he grabbed the U.S. belt and he had a stare down with Sheamus. He threw the belt in his face and he ran away. This is no good.
Yeah. By the way, I just got to mention this because I'm about to faint. There's an overpowering scent of cologne in this room.
Yes.
Why?
Well, I just want to impress you fellas.
Why?
I'm
you
sorry.
Smell like Macy's.
Must we do this?
Go ahead.
Could be worse.
Go ahead, Vinny. I'm trying to subtly encourage you to not wear so much next time.
It's very hot in here.
It's extremely warm.
I'm afraid that his cologne may ignite. I did turn the cool air on. But apparently
I don't hear it.
It's not enough. Go on, Vinny.
Craig, do you have anything to say?
Not anymore.
All right.
Was there a mistake is my question, or was
on the cologne or
this by design?
This career decision.
Go on. Okay. I have things to do before I came here.
Like what?
Well, I had to go to the store.
Go on, Vinny.
They plugged new episodes of Raw on the network, and for the first time, the first 100 hours of Nitro.
Oh, come on. What? Nitro on the network?
Yeah.
Who would have ever thought?
Remember Craig earlier mentioning the Usos versus the Wyatts in every show?
Yeah.
Paige wrestled Natalya.
That happened.
At least they mixed it up and spent most of the match reversing submissions. And then Paige just hit the Paige Turner and won. Thank God there was no distraction finish.
Was anyone else irritated by the fact that Natalya has beaten the champion twice and has still not gotten a championship match?
So has Eva Marie.
Of course.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. So then AJ came out after the match. Natalya, who was beaten fair and square, dropped Paige with a lariat and mm-hmm. bailed.
What a jerk.
What a meanie.
Well, she knows this is the most likely way to actually get a championship match.
I guess so, actually.
To irritate the champion. Not defeat them in a match. Just irritate them.
That honestly would be funny if she got a title match now. I would actually laugh. So AJ helped Paige to her feet and smiled at her and said they were friends and kissed her hand and skipped and left. And I've given this feud like a month now, and I've decided it's just stupid.
Wow, Vinny's clearly married.
Wow.
I am done with this. I want to see people who hate each other fight, not who pretend to like each other.
I did pop when AJ called her my little English muffin.
Yeah, English muffins are delicious.
Yeah. I laughed because I have a dumb sense of humor. But the match is fine. Nothing special. Natalya, the only one that can make the page turner look like an actual finish.
I guess. She's the only one that could do it and it's not botched. How about that?
I'll give you that.
It looks like a side Russian leg sweep, which has never pinned anyone.
It's been a while. I'm sure like in the 70s we could find a guy. Kane came out in his suit to deliver a eulogy for Dean Ambrose. He had Ambrose's photo up on an easel. Kane said this is not a mourning of the past, but a celebration of the future. Brought out Rollins. Rollins came out in a black suit, very somber. He said he was the leader of the Shield. He had handpicked Dean to be a part of the team, and then Dean had fought valiantly. But then he had learned that you cannot beat the authority. He blamed the fans for choosing the match where Ambrose had been hurt. They showed the video, and then they came back, and Ambrose did some very bad fake laughing. He said the cinder blocks had not been there on accident. You don't say.
And, they accidentally brought in some cinder blocks.
And Dean's lifelong headache was no accident either. It's going on for a while about how he would never see Ambrose again, and it went too long, and he got the what treatment. And finally, Roman Reigns came out through the crowd. They brawled on the floor, and he actually sent both of them packing. And that was that. And by the way, they never called him Kane on the commentary. It was always Corporate Kane.
We got to make sure that people don't think that he's the Demon Kane right now.
I would take... As far as actually hearing the name, I would rather hear the Demon Kane for like 6 months before hearing Corporate Kane.
I think you've forgotten when we had to hear the Demon Kane every single night.
Man, that was bad.
How about you just call him Kane?
That's my idea.
How about if you're over the age of two, you can separate Corporate Kane from the Demon Kane?
I am very much looking forward to Rollins and Reigns having an awesome match.
Well,
I can't wait.
It's coming up.
It's the only thing I'm looking forward to in WWE right now.
I am happy if it means we don't get another pointless Orton Reigns rematch.
Exactly.
Well, judging from SmackDown, we may.
Yeah. There was backstage weirdness with the Dust Brothers. They said they would win the tag belts, which is more of a point than they usually have. Then we had the Usos versus Dust Brothers. Very long match. Babyface versus babyface. So there's a dueling chance at some points, but not a lot of consistent heat. The announcers were debating which member of the Funk Brothers was most like Goldust and Stardust. Seriously?
Which member of the Funk Brothers?
Yeah. Is this a question that needs to be asked for more than about a half a second?
Well, when the match goes a long time and your announcers get bored, they got to have something to think about.
The correct answer is Terry Funk.
Yeah.
Is the member of the Funks most like Goldust and Stardust?
I guess that's true.
Yes, it is a fact. I don't see how anyone could argue that. Jey Uso hit a dive, but he hurt his knee and was unable to return to the ring, so the Dust Brothers win by countout. They did not get the belts. The winners were announced as Gold and Stardust. So apparently Dust is their last name, and they actually are the Dust Brothers.
Yeah.
So Goldust cut a promo. I guess he'd just be Gold cut a promo. Saying the Usos had gotten countered out on purpose, and then they lit into the Usos and attacked Jey's knee. This made me sad, because they are both great babyface wrestlers, but... What are you going to do?
Well, I had heard that there were considerations of turning the Usos heel.
Mm-hmm.
And of the options, you may as well turn the Dust Brothers.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the Usos as a heel tag team.
No, they got the chant thing going.
I don't know if I hated this finish or loved it. I mostly hated it, to be honest with you. But
sounds to me like you hated it.
But to actually turn one of the teams, it's about time. You know what I mean?
Because we need to have more matches with these men against each other. It's a great way to extend this feud to 200 matches.
Well,
what's better than seeing them versus Axel back again.
What's the other options here?
Well, it's true.
You need more teams.
Yeah. You could have more teams, yes. Bring up some teams.
You could do that, but they're not going to. So this was a viable option B.
Sure. I'm sick of their packages backstage.
Excuse me?
So now I have a good reason to hate them as a team.
Oh, the videos.
Oh, I got
the Cosmic Key.
Yeah.
I still don't know what that is.
Well,
I guess
know.
This means we won't get pixie dust, which devastates me.
I don't know. If he would have left the Cosmic Key next to his wallet, he would never lose it.
I often lose my keys.
I was going to say, you don't know Vinny.
Yeah.
My buddy George lost his keys again today for like the ninth time.
Who's George?
The point of it is, like, he lost the key to his own karate school.
I see.
But he drove over to where I was at to borrow a key.
Mm-hmm.
Driving requires a key.
Or a key ring.
So I have not yet figured out why he does not have his dojo key on his key ring.
I know.
Why would you have them in separate places?
I keep the key to my toolbox on my key ring that has my car key and my house key. So this is a good question.
I'll have to do some sort of follow up.
Kane and Seth decided to get rid of Reigns by booking themselves in a handicap match against him. Fair enough.
What was the authority tonight? Did they explain that?
I don't think so.
Just on vacation again?
Just taking a day off.
Sure. Great day to take off. Monday night.
It didn't matter. Would have been kind a bit of. Better show with him.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if we take this seriously, we've got 6-7 days in a week, you take Monday off.
You're not wrong. Best part of the show, sit-down interview with Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman. Brock said Cena should have stayed down after that first F5 1 minute into the match, but his, quote, never give up bullshit took over. Did not do him any favors. Heyman said the match had only ended because Lesnar had unfortunately taken pity on Cena and chosen to end the fight. It's the only reason Cena survived. And now Cena had challenged Brock to a rematch, and they were humiliated that Cena would dare challenge Lesnar to a rematch. They're showing clips of Cena as a kid. I'm pretty sure we own the same Joker t-shirt. But they talked for a while, and Brock vowed that Night of Champions would be Cena's last match in the universe.
Yeah.
This was awesome.
The WWE universe or God's universe?
Either way.
I almost shed a tear, said Brock. I giggled.
That's great.
He's such a dick. It's great.
Yes.
The great. He's what a heel should be. A big dick bully.
Yeah. Dolph Ziggler versus Miz. Miz came out and said he was a movie star, and so he had gotten a stunt double.
Mm-hmm.
Damian Mizdow.
Mizow.
Either way. So,
Mao.
Mao?
Mao. Mizow.
How about Mao?
Go on, Vinny.
Damian and Miz came out. Damian had the white Stormtrooper getup or whatever that is. They did a
tunic.
Sure. A perfectly choreographed spinning entrance together was a thing of beauty. Make them a full-time team right now.
Yeah.
Come on. Miz, by the way, Brian, you've mentioned this and you're right. His new gimmick is the best possible thing for him.
Oh, yeah.
In particular, Frank Sinatra-ish old-time movie star getup. Hair slicked back, the sunglasses. It's great.
He's just missing an ascot.
Yeah. So they wrestled for a few minutes, and then Dolph escaped to figure four and hit the zigzag for the win. Miz immediately said, he's fired! Started clapping. That made me sad because I did want them to be a team. And he gave Dolph a sarcastic ovation.
This is easily the best thing Damian's done with his rip-off gimmick. I don't know what you even call it, but I was okay with this. It made me laugh.
Yes.
I enjoyed it. It wasn't painful to watch. I say continue with this.
Sounds good to me.
All
right. Wait a second. You had one good one out of 25 and you want him to continue now?
Yeah, continue the one good one.
Yeah.
I see.
The one good one.
Keep being Mrs.
So he should remain Mizow.
Yes. Absolutely.
That ain't going to happen.
Why not?
Make him a tag team. It's okay.
We need more teams anyway.
All right.
The star and the stunt
double. I'll book
it
for next week.
The stunt double and the star. That's even better.
Every star needs a whipping boy. Guy that they can order out.
You have discovered the secret to our radio show. Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, you'll hear my comparison to the Horsemen later. Go on.
Anyway, they should totally run with this.
Sure. I'll get right on it.
Thank you.
Tell him Craig said hi.
Jerry Lawler entered the ring for a Bella reconciliation. I'm not going to break this down point by point. This was terrible. This was fucking awful. The crowd knew it. Pretty sure the girls knew it. It was really, really bad. It went for a long time. They talked about, among other things, Bree's relationship with Daniel Bryan, her wedding to Daniel Bryan. But Nikki's relationship with John Cena is apparently fiction. No one has even broached the subject.
And yes.
I'm annoyed that they're bringing in, they're picking and choosing stuff from Total Divas. Which
exactly.
They did plug in this.
I asked Dave, why are we doing this?
Yes.
And he said E wants it for Total Divas. And it's like, okay, so it's based on Total Divas, but Nikki and John Cena is just an imaginary, you know what I mean? Like you said, it's not a relationship in this universe, but it is on E. But this storyline is based on Total Divas. The whole thing sucks. But you know what? I am going to put over both of these girls You ready?
Go for it.
Now, I will say that this absolutely sucked. This was an ungodly, terrible segment. However, to their credit, and this is actually not just them, but it's a lot of people in this company. If you are an actor and you're doing a scene, and the scene is you and your sister having a feud and she's cutting you down and you've got to cry. If you're not feeling it, you go, hold on, can we do that again? And you start over. Both of these girls had to know the death that this segment was dying.
Oh, yeah.
And they just had to keep going. And they had to keep crying. Brie had to keep crying. Nikki had to keep tearing her down. It was almost impressive, actually, that they managed to pull this off, really. But yes, it was a terrible segment. Nobody bought it. It was television hell. I Wish You Died in the Womb was such a ridiculous... Number one, it's insulting to anybody who has had a real tragedy. And if you take that out of the equation, like this has never actually happened to anybody, it's such a stupid line that somebody would have supposedly say that to their sister. It's just so dumb. This sucked.
And the part where they were holding hands in the womb didn't bother you at all?
Well, no, because I'm sure many moms have told their twins really? That. Yeah. That may be true.
I've seen junior high dramas that went off better than this thing.
Yeah.
This was stupid. This was embarrassing.
Yeah.
It was.
This was the worst thing I've seen on TV in a long time.
It was very bad.
And then Jerry Lawler had to flee from Nikki Bella.
Well, he's had a hard time.
Oh, did we mention, by the way, that Nikki slapped Jerry in the face and the cameras missed it?
Yeah, there is that.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just sitting there thinking, man, Jerry, you suck at handling these debates.
Did not go well for him.
You came out here to make this better, and it came out much worse. Jerry Horrible. Fail.
Horrible.
Yeah. Kane and Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns. Reigns beat the fuck out of them for a while. Then they just cheap shotted him for the DQ. And they went to put his head into cinder blocks like they did to Ambrose, but he made his own comeback, fought them both off, threw a cinder block against a post, it exploded, and sent the heels running for their lives.
Yeah. It has been a real cinder block.
Long time since we've seen a Jesus push like this.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan needed Mr. T to fight off Piper and Orndorff.
Well, they know how to get a guy over.
They do. They do.
Because it's easy.
Yeah.
They just don't like to do it a lot.
Yeah.
Except for their guys.
Except when they pick a guy.
And apparently Reigns needs to watch the trajectory of the cinder block next time because he almost took out Jerry with the chunk of it. Or that's what we're supposed to believe.
Mm.
Yeah, it could have been dangerous. The chunk when it explodes.
Just saying.
Creepy Wyatt's promo. I won't lie. I fast forwarded.
Hey, you ain't the only one.
Yeah.
I didn't fast forward, but I woke up later. Let's just put it that way.
Matadors versus Slater and Gator. They did an inset thing with the heel team, making jokes about Spider-Man and Peter Parker and Incredible Hulk and Bruce Banner. And the punchline was that Thor did not have a counterpart. Donald Blake. You're welcome. So what we had here was a comedy match that the crowd was not into.
That's the sound of it going right over my head.
Nothing worse than a comedy match that the crowd is not into. And the heels couldn't get along, and Heath got pinned with a crucifix. This continued the trend, I will say, of they're doing this a lot now, where they're doing a tag match, and they've got the heat, and they don't even do a hot tag. They just do the flash finish out of nowhere.
Sure, great.
That is good, because it does lead to, it hopefully teach people to pay attention. At some point, though, they need to do it the other way, where the guy who's beaten just gets beat up and pinned.
Was Vinny's tirade about Thor an example of nerd rage?
It might be.
I heard that term.
Yeah, a little bit. A
couple days ago.
Nerd rage is like when you take your...
he was raging over something nerd-related.
Okay, but...
It's certainly nerdy. I don't know if it was raging.
Nerd rage is like you're sitting behind your PS3, and you get frustrated with the game, and you throw the controller at the TV.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
I could see him doing that, too, though.
Oh, I could.
I have.
Vinny's nerd rage has
not in many years, to
dissipated
be honest,
over the years.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
A good 10 years ago, he'd have done a flip right there. It would have landed like ACH.
I used to get so mad at Tetris. That is a fact. That is a fact.
It's a game.
It's a solitaire game.
Wow.
Yes. Sad little man. Bo Dallas versus Kofi Kingston.
Thank God for Bridget.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, when I say used to get mad at Tetris, I mean I was like 15.
Yesterday.
Oh.
How dare you?
I thought at least a century.
Bo Dallas versus Kofi Kingston. There was no Big E or Xavier Woods. That angle is just dead. Had a sloppy match.
Actually, they did on the house show this weekend.
Awesome.
They can't decide.
Oh, God. So they had a sloppy match, and they screwed up the Bo Dog, but Bo made the pin anyway. And then Bo said Kofi only let himself down, unlike Swagger, who let down the whole country. Swagger appeared, laid Bo out with an amateur-style slam. Too little, too late.
What, you wanted him to make a run-in during the match?
This is just the beginning, dude.
I wanted to beat him up backstage when Bo first when it was in his face.
That's fair. This is where the show started to fall off a cliff.
Actually, well, at the end.
This was 9 stupid segments in a row.
Yeah, it was... This was not a good Raw.
No. I had peaked with the Brock Lesnar-Paul Heyman video.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, most Raws do. Main event was, well, started as Cena versus Bray Wyatt. And they did Cena versus Lesnar here with Cena playing the bully who hit a bunch of suplexes. And at some point, Bray tried to come back, but Cena cut him off with a double leg, like Brock. And was beaten on him when the Wyatts hit the ring for the DQ. Mark Henry and Big Show ran out to make the save too quickly. Like, 2 seconds went by, and these giants had just been standing there ready to charge down to the ring. So they went to break, came back, did a 6-man. It was boring and forgettable. Cena got a hot tag, hit a few suplexes, and tapped out Harper with an STF. And he hit all the heels with AAs, and Henry and Show were cheering him on, and that was that. It was not a good Raw.
What do you think about this return of Super John Cena?
Man, they're trying.
I thought he looked good.
A week later?
I thought he looked good at the beginning of the match. I mean, when he was in there just with Wyatt, he looked like a stud.
Couldn't wait 3 weeks for him to come back and be a stud?
Well,
I'm torn.
They've only got 4 weeks till the pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's what they have to do.
How about you do another match at the pay-per-view and do Brock and Cena in a month after that?
They're not doing that. So if you're going to do Cena and Brock now, then this is what you got to do.
Okay, let me ask you this. Who would you put in that spot beside John Cena?
Against Brock?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anybody. Miz.
What?
Just for fun.
You're just saying that because you want Miz to be killed.
Huh. I hadn't thought of it that way.
Brock doesn't have to wrestle on the pay-per-view.
True.
I'm pretty sure that you could come up with a main event. And if not, you got big problems.
I do think that the champion should be wrestling on a show called Night of Champions.
That's true.
I guess, you know.
I don't know.
That's maybe as important. I mean, just, you know what? How about you do a 4-week tournament and you get a guy over to die?
That'd have been better. Yeah. You can do that.
And then John Cena disappears for a month and then he comes back and he's a new man. Then he beats up some dudes and he gets his championship match in October at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just didn't like seeing him back so quick. Like nothing had happened.
Wasn't probably nothing had happened.
Well, really, he was selling his neck and all of his head after being dropped on it 16 times.
He had changed his mood.
Yeah.
That is true. He wasn't happy as usual after losing the title. I wasn't a fan of this. Let's play a song, everybody. It's a new one. If only you can hear this, Craig.
I said 1, 2, 3, 4, Brian is mean, Brian is mean. I said 1, 2, 3, 4, Brian is mean, Brian is mean. Don't you ring.
Stop the song. Craig, you need to hear this. I'm going to pass my headphones over to Craig.
You know he listens to it on the way home, so it's not a big deal. Give me a break, Craig. Can we continue now, everybody?
Start over.
Just got married.
Bring it back to Vinny. He missed his line about himself.
Big Vinny V and Craigie B treated like Brian's animal.
It's a pretty talented fella. I don't know what he's saying.
He didn't mean to hit the lead. Poor Craigie P. Poor Craigie P.
Craig's dying. He's been referenced.
Accidentally left his phone on ring. Big Benny B. Has gotta be. Has gotta be sick of Crazy Steve. Yeah.
Anytime anyone does a Pearl Jam parody.
I said 1, 2, 3, 4, Brian is mean. Brian is mean. I said 1, 2, 3, 4, Brian is mean.
I don't know, but you owe me $1,000. It's live right now there, Daddy.
Hold on, I'll checking my shoe.
Man, oh man. $1,000 richer, everybody. Thank you very much. Jason, maybe you could supply the lyrics next time so I could sing along. All right. Well.
So we'd already discussed why we watched this class show, because Craig, at some point, it was determined that basically Brian didn't want to pick a show, and I don't like to do anything. So.
Craig, how do you decide what we watch?
It's totally random, to be honest.
Well, let me give you some suggestions.
Okay.
All right.
You know what I'm going to choose next week, though?
The Shield documentary.
No.
Okay, but I want to watch that one, so put that on the list.
Okay, well, do it in your spare time.
Tuesday, everybody, we're going to listen to the we're going to watch the Shield documentary.
Do what you want. I'm not all right. Watching it.
Well, then you're off the show, Craig.
Sweet.
Why would you not want to watch the Shield documentary?
Everybody
said it was awesome.
But
what? Everybody has been crying that we have not watched the Shield documentary yet. So let's watch the Shield documentary.
You know how hard it is to report on a documentary?
No, it's easy.
You do? Okay.
All right. Shield documentary.
You just spoil it.
Yeah. All right. So Shield documentary. And then after that, we should watch some Impact. Or not Impact. I'm
Nitro.
Sorry. Nitro.
I was going to say we should watch the first Nitro.
All right. We'll watch that after the Shield documentary.
Fine.
All right.
See, I didn't get to pick this week, so now I hate Brian.
Technically, we could watch the Shield documentary and
Let's
Nitro.
Not go crazy. We
in
only got
less time than it took to watch this Clash. Because Nitro is only an hour, which means 40 minutes without commercials. And the Shield documentary is 45 minutes. That's 90 minutes. This show was an hour and 45 minutes.
So now you're going to tell the people that we're going to watch two shows next week?
I haven't decided yet. But we got to watch the Shield documentary. Right. If you'd like to watch the first Nitro as well, we can do that.
Nah, one's fine.
All right. You heard it here first, everybody.
I'm easy.
What were you saying, Vinny? Yeah, Craig, you're so easy.
I was just going to start.
That wasn't pulling teeth or nothing.
I was just going to start the review.
All right, let's go.
So yeah, this Craig. Was WCW. I think actually it was NWA at the time. But the point is, it was Clash of the Champions 10, Texas Shootout, February 6th, 1990. They were in, obviously, Corpus Christi, Texas. And the show opened with the first of a parade of goofy videos.
Actually, before that, it opened with a graphic of various WCW stars being shot.
Well, that's what I was getting at, yes.
Oh, I see.
It was like a shooting gallery.
I thought you were talking about the Dr. Death video.
Well, that too, oh, that geez. Too. But, you see like a saloon and Stinger popping up in a window and he gets shot and fall down. And same thing with the Steiners and Flair and the Road Warriors and Doom. Everyone got shot. They had Jim Ross and Jim Cornette doing commentary open the show. They promised, quote, varmints and yahoos. And they had Terry Funk doing interviews at ringside and Gordon Soley doing interviews backstage. Soley interviewed the Road Warriors, who promised to destroy the skyscrapers, and ended with, tell them Gordon. I laughed. Samoan Savage with Sir Oliver Humperdinck versus Steve Williams. As Brian said, they had, I guess you'd call them entrance videos. Well, they didn't have a Titantron or any big screen in the arena, so we just saw them at home. And a lot of them were just skits.
Yes.
So the Samoan Savage comes out, and then we get a video of an ambulance, and Dr. Death Steve Williams jumps out of the ambulance screaming that he is a victim to rescue. Mm-hmm. He carries a guy over his shoulder into the ambulance. begins to perform CPR. Thank God he didn't get to mouth to mouth. And he ordered the driver to go to the hospital. And then he came out to wrestle.
No, then he looked out the back window as the ambulance was speeding away. Yes. It's like, it scared the hell out of me.
He is the scariest EMT in the world. Then he came out to some, and I don't know if this is the original music or not.
I loved his work chest compressions, by the way.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
But he came out to like very laid back electric guitar, like light Pink Floyd. Mm-hmm. Very strange. So the Samoan Savage here will be Sam Fatu. It'll be the younger brother of Rikishi, the uncle of the Usos.
Tonga Kid.
Also the Tonga Kid and the Islanders. Yes, yes. And so Dr. Death's running wild with football tackles. And one of them asked, do they play football in Samoa?
Why not?
In the end, in 2014, I can look around the professional and college football landscape and say definitively, yes, they're everywhere. So Cornette had a lot to say in this match that you could say in 1990 that you could not say in 2014. He referred to Samoans, all of them, as big and stupid.
Wow.
If you know any Samoan people, I cannot stress this strongly enough.
No.
Don't say that.
No.
Things will go badly. Your day will be ruined.
Remember Samito?
That's exactly the Samoan I was thinking of.
Yes.
Perhaps you've forgotten the car ride we shared with him.
Nope.
You weren't there.
Oh, that's
I know, but
right.
I remember the story.
That's no. right with Buddy.
Where he was threatening to punch me in the face while I was driving.
Yep.
And I would have been fine with it by that point.
And him and Buddy were drinking like crazy.
Welcomed a punch to the face as I was driving. We'd have a rollover accident down the road and it would all just end.
Vinny's driving and he's so uncomfortable. And they're both drinking and Samito is getting more and more agitated. And he's yelling at Vinny and he's yelling at Buddy and Buddy's yelling back at him. And finally Samito goes, pull his fucking car over right now!
Uh-huh.
Sorry, Granny. And they pull over the car and Samito and Buddy get out of the car and they get in a fight. And Vinny gets out of the car and he's like, hey man, like, just like, you know, hey! Trying to break this fight up. He was... I thought you were going to quit wrestling that day.
You're getting some. Well, I did too, but for different reasons. Okay, you're missing. You're getting a few facts wrong.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
This is the drive.
That was from my perspective.
This is the drive back to Portland. On the drive down to Portland, Buddy and Samito would not stop talking about the great rib they had pulled on a rookie one time when they faked a fight.
Yeah,
so they had spoiled their own rib. So they're pulling the same rib to me on the way back, and they're out there. Shoving and hollering for a while. And I turned to you and I said, is this the part where I go back and say we're supposed to be brothers? And you said, I think you should go out there. So I go out there playing along and I'm trying to say, okay, guys, you can stop now. And Samito turned and he shoved me in the chest and I may have actually pissed everywhere. And I thought, oh my God, it's real. So they got me. In the end, they did in fact get me. And at that point, all was jolly. And then Samito continued to drink.
Well, yeah.
And like
living the gimmick.
Things went downhill from there. Somewhere back like the first year of this site, you and Buddy told the whole story. And I simply said that I would never get into a car with Samito again. I have managed to keep my word. It's gotten to the point where, I shouldn't say it's gone. I haven't seen him in close to 10 years now. But he was on one of the early shows in, what the hell was the group that ran down in like Federal Way?
Pinnacle.
Pinnacle, yes. He was on one of the Pinnacle shows. It was at the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to get something to eat. And I saw Samito in the food court. And I turned around and I left.
Wow.
I avoided the food court.
That's saying something.
Yes.
I had nothing but great interactions with Samito.
Samito's a great guy.
I never talked to him again.
Huh. I remember we were going to wrestle at that mall, and I remember looking out the window, and he was walking in.
Yes.
And he had his gear in a plastic Payless bag. That's his gear bag.
Uh-huh.
And he had a pair of jorts, and we're about to go to the ring, and I was like, Samito, the tag is on your jorts. Let me rip that off. He's like, hell no! Because you leave the price tag on, so it's like you ripped them off.
Right.
That was the gimmick.
I see. Yeah. I thought you said he was going to try to return them.
No, he may have afterwards. But you wanted to give the impression that you stole them, mm-hmm. that you didn't buy them. So, yeah, that was Samito.
Yeah. So.
Wild man.
He was. So, back to Cornette. After referring to all Samoans as big and stupid, He then said the crowd in Corpus Christi would have a lot more Spanish people, but the Border Patrol had hired extra agents. And finally, he said a lot of the fans who were in the building were still dripping wet.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, things were different in 1990.
Sure were, let me tell you.
In addition, oh, Greg?
I was just going to say, Jim Cornette wearing a red suit jacket
yes.
and green tie.
Yes.
And it was nowhere close to Christmas.
No. It's just being Jim Cornette. One of the main sponsors of this show was Ruse.
The sneaker company.
Ruse were tennis shoes, like a kangaroo. Mm-hmm. And the gimmick was they had a little pocket in them.
That's right.
I had a pair of Ruse.
Absolutely.
These pockets could hold, perhaps, at the very most, one quarter.
Actually, they can hold a whole nickel bag of weed.
Or,
yeah.
Or, if you were in a different crowd than I was, marijuana.
Wow.
So.
Just saying.
So they're having this match. And a woman comes down and sits at ringside. Humperdinck went over, said hi, left. So Steve Williams was big and scary. He picked up the 300-pound Samoan, press-landed him, locked out his arms, carried him around the ring. Then immediately after doing that, he hit a textbook dropkick. Amazing athlete. And then he got the win with a backslide.
I thought this match was awesome.
Yeah.
I thought the Samoan was great. I thought that Doc was just like, an awesome baby face, had a hell of a little match. Woman was out there. It was great. Backslide finish out of nowhere. They played it up like he'd outsmarted and beaten this man with a wrestling hold.
Yeah.
It's like, great. Yeah. I loved this.
You know what was most impressive about Dr. Death? A standing dropkick that knocked the guy in the forehead.
Yeah.
That was great.
Amazing.
I would still go with the press slam, but
both. That was awesome too.
He was phenomenal. The end then aired the Wrestle War 90 rap promo.
Oh, my God. Should we play it here?
If you can find
Please.
It and play it. I swear to you, I remembered every single word. 24 years later.
Because you did in the mirror or something like that?
I may have. I may have rehearsed this. I'm not sure. But I remembered the guy singing about Ric Flair, the champ, testament to biology, meets Sting, the dream of entomology.
That was a real line, everybody.
Yes.
Here we go. This is the Wrestle War rap. For some inexplicable reason, it is not playing. That's unfortunate.
All right. Take our word for it.
I don't know why. Why do I got no audio here? Let's try this. We'll try Daily Motion. Perhaps they will serve us better. Stand by, everybody. Wrestle War 1990 rap. Which is taking its sweet time to load here. Go on, Vinny. I'll get this loaded up right. in a sec.
Terry Funk brought the Four Horsemen down to the ring. Horsemen here were Ric Flair, Sting, and the Andersons. I guess they don't have the rights to the Horsemen theme. Because they came out to some lame honky-tonk riff. So the setup here was, at this point, the Horsemen had been babyfaces.
Actually, stand by, because this is going to start here in about 5 seconds. This is the famous Wrestle War 90 rap that Vinny did in front of the mirror countless times as a youngster. So, here we go.
Hey, homeboy, gather around. Some serious stuff is gonna go down. Call the Wrestle War 90, the kings of the ring. All come together and do the wild thing. Lex Luger, the stylish, Nature Boy, and Sting. Yeah, they all be doing that. Woo! Thing. Yeah, they all be there with something to prove. Brimming with intentions to bust the move. It's pay-per-view excitement from THE. For more information, call your cable company.
That was a different one.
That's a different one. Same guy, same concept. The other one, he actually runs down the entire card in a rap.
Damn it.
Yeah. So the Horsemen have been babyfaces feuding with Great Muta and his crew. But Sting, as a babyface, had signed for a title match to face Ric Flair. This was a mistake. And here is where they let him know. Ole did all the talking. He addressed Sting face-to-face. Says, Sting, Ric Flair called us into this company to take you out. But then you helped him. You helped him fight Terry Funk, who was, in fact, conducting this interview. Then you helped him face the Great Muta. You fought alongside him. And Flair called us off. And then there was the Iron Man tournament, where you actually beat this man. We came down to take you out again, and he waved us off a second time. And then somehow he became a horseman. He fought alongside them, and he was a great horseman. But then he had made a huge mistake. He had signed his life away. He had signed a contract to wrestle Ric Flair. That was an unforgivable sin.
What an idiot.
Yeah.
Sting didn't understand what the Horsemen were all about?
Apparently not. So, they said that he and Arn wanted to eliminate Sting right now, but Flair, in respect for all Sting had done, insisted they give him one chance to walk away and back out of the title match. Sting was protesting, saying it didn't make sense. Flair tried to talk to him peacefully, but Ole said, no, you're being too nice. It's just, here's the deal, Sting. You have 2 hours, go to the back out of the title match, and we'll let you live. And Sting wasn't having this. He grabbed Ole by the arm. A brawl broke out. As Ole pointed out, there was three of them and one of him, so things went badly. And Flair ended up screaming that he had bought Sting the time, and Sting had made this mistake, and screamed at him to get out of this match, get out of this business. And they stomped a mud hole in him, left him lying. This is a pro wrestling version of a UFC angle.
That was great.
Yeah. Where one guy signs to fight a champion in his camp, so he left the camp. And this, like I say, was the pro wrestling version of that.
What a fool that Sting was.
I noticed it here, but it was a couple times during the show. Nobody knew where the hard camera was.
Ole did turn his back to the hard camera at one point.
And Luger later on, and it was just an ongoing thing. It was like nobody clued him in.
How about this one?
Hey, homeboy, gather around. It's going to go down. The wrestle will die. The kings of the ring.
Same one.
No. Damn.
What a failure. Okay, I got this. Is
longer. The show on the network.
It's a longer version here.
Listen, homeboy, and gather around. Wrestle War 90 is about to go down. Ric Flair, let's test the money biology.
We interrupt to bring you a special Wrestle War 90 update.
After Sting got hurt, they had to edit it.
So I really got to go to the network of all things. Ah, forget it. Who cares?
You guys all have the network anyway.
Everyone's over it now, so let's just move on. Yeah.
So, that was a great angle. And as noted as a kid, I watched it over and over again. Oh, one thing I did not mention that I must hear. Terry Funk conducted this interview in a black tuxedo with the pants tucked into white cowboy boots.
That better or worse than Wang going to that wedding in a tuxedo and a baseball cap.
All I know is this emphasizes my point that he is the Funk brother most like Goldust and Stardust.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. The Mod Squad versus Flying Brian and Z-Man.
Yes. Mod Squad.
What we had here.
Why aren't these guys in WWE
there are
today?
A couple of.
They're awesome.
There are a couple of points that we've mentioned ourselves in the show. What we had here in Mod Squad versus Flying Brian and Z-Man was two Brians versus two Vinnies.
Yeah, actually. And thought of that, but you're right.
Mod Squad were two generic, big, ugly dudes, had flat top haircuts, Fu Manchu mustaches, and biker cop costumes. And the baby faces were two good-looking, athletic, fit, handsome young men.
To be fair, Vinny, yes. I was a bigger fan of the Mod Squad. I liked you better than me.
There's nothing wrong with the Mod Squad. No. They were competent. They were in the right spot for everything.
They were exactly what you want.
Yes. Yes. Their fundamentals were quite sound. And really, everything they did was sound. But they had a very basic match. The Ross called Pillman and Zank the most eligible bachelors of the NWA.
Hmm.
From every story I've heard, that's putting it very, very mildly. So Brian Pillman, if you've never seen him, was an amazing babyface, jumping and pumping his fists all the time. He was also a great athlete, but he threw a couple of wacky kicks that still needed some practice.
I love when he did a high spot and then celebrated by doing a split jump, and then he did a double leaping high five with Tom Zank.
Yes, it was awesome.
It's like, God.
His team ruled. So the Mod Squad, of course, had no chance against these men but to cheat. And the crowd was so upset with their double teams. So angry. Heat Segment was fine. It just went too long for a match that, and to be fair, the 1990 crowd, I guess maybe the finish was in doubt at some point, but in hindsight, this heat went too long for a match that everyone knew that he was going to lose, and Z-Man got a hot tag, run wild, won with a body press, all was right with the world.
The finish was a little mistimed. Zank did a high cross.
This is not Pillman's best night.
No, Zank did this high cross, and Pillman was supposed to drop kick Mod Squad Spike out of the ring, but he was late, and his drop kick sucked.
It turned out to be a double knee, jumping double knee.
And then Nick Patrick had to jump 85 feet because he didn't know where he was supposed to be. And it was what it was. I thought the Mod Squad made this awesome. Pillman. I remember when I had to be a babyface and I just suck at it because I don't like to clap and jump and do split jumps and all that crap, which you got to do to be a babyface. And I just think about Brian Pillman, and he was like just a crazy man. He was a lunatic.
Yes.
He would go in there and he would do jumping, split jumps and leaping high fives. Like, more power to this guy. But yes, this was high hilarity. This was great entertainment.
Mod Squad consisting of Spike and Basher.
Yes. Basher.
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 He looked like a basher. He looked like a bruiser.
Pillman and Zink looked awesome in this match. Some of their double team moves were awesome. We don't see enough using the ropes as a slingshot nowadays.
That's actually true.
You know, at one point he slingshotted, if that's even a word, Pillman into the ring with a double clothesline. And there was a really cool move where Pillman did an axe kick, and then right behind him was Zink with an enziguri. Just, these guys were great.
A fun little, see, well, how'd you guys not like this show? This show was great.
Well, then things went south.
No way.
Really, it was just the next two or three segments, but one of those.
Come on. Cactus Jack and Mil Máscaras, what are you talking about?
Yes, everyone. Cactus Jack Manson versus Mil Máscaras.
Yes.
Before we even started, I just wrote, what a strange matchup.
Yeah.
Gary Michael Capetta, during ring introductions, identified one of them as Captain Jack.
He did, actually.
So
let me explain this match.
Have at it.
First off, Mil was 48 years old here.
Wow.
48 years old.
He looked good.
Looked good, moved great. And then there was the match.
Yeah.
This was a Mil Máscaras match, which means he sold absolutely nothing.
Nil.
Yeah.
He sold, yes, Mil Máscaras could be his name. He sold absolutely, positively nothing. Finally, he gives Jack a tiny little bit of heat, like two moves. Apologize for that, everybody. This fucking Mac. He finally gives him like two moves, tosses the dude outside. Máscaras is on the ground. Foley goes to get up on the apron, and Máscaras just completely stops selling altogether, sprints into the ring. And then, of course, he gives Cactus Jack the drop kick, and Cactus goes flying. Nesty plunge bump flat back on the cement, nearly killed. And then when Cactus gets back in the ring, Mil Máscaras high cross pins him clean. It's just
the first.
I was so entertained by this match.
To say it's yes, it was a Mil Máscaras match, but it was a Mil Máscaras match with a young, inexperienced Mick Foley who didn't really know how to do it. So
they made it funnier.
Mil would do like some lucha submissions, and Foley would have no clue how to escape. So Mil would just let go.
Yes.
And then
so funny.
Cactus is doing a comedy spot where he sets up a chair and then forgets it's there and trips over it.
Yeah.
And they brawled a bit, and then Mil just walked away. A stylish clash like the likes of which you will rarely see.
Whose idea was this match?
I don't know. So, and then, yes, as you noted, they do the next heat plunge spot, and it's you're watching this, and it's just like, this is so bad. This is so bad. This is so bad. And then Mick Foley just kills himself.
Oh, yeah.
He was just on the Steve Austin podcast, Mick was. And Stone Cold actually brought this up. And
This match. Wow.
And he asked Mick about the match, and he was very political in his answer. He said something along the lines of, well, Mil wasn't interested in doing business that day.
That day. Try to have the same match today, it'd be exactly the same.
If they ever re-release this, they should have JBL do commentary.
I guess it's kind of like a legendary match in some ways, but when you watch back, it's just like,
yeah,
this could be any goofy Raw match in 2014. It would be completely forgotten the next day, mm-hmm. except for the crazy bump. And if it were a Ziggler match, you'd probably have that bump. We'd still forget it the next day.
Yes. Yeah. So, Missy Hyatt plugged her new gig as Ross's co-host of Main Event. She stumbled over her line, and they left it in.
They should just play this on the network today with her telling us to watch a Main Event.
The So they went to break and they came back. Cactus Jack was messing around with the band.
Yeah.
I believe they said the name of the band was the Tough Guys. And the
the Tough Guys. Yeah. It's like a band.
All of them
got a great
all
name.
All of them wearing spandex and eyeliner, by the way. The Tough Guys.
Sure. Sure.
Would you mess with the guy wearing spandex and eyeliner?
Craig, that was everyone on this roster.
Oh, I know.
Outside the eyeliner.
I know.
So the drummer jumped up and tore off his shirt and had got into a brawl with Foley. And it was JT Southern, although they would later identify him as a man named Wild Wolf. Oh, excuse me. No, Wolf Wild. And yeah. I'm not sure which is worse.
Wild Wolf.
No, actually, that's much better.
That makes me want to come back to wrestling.
Wolf Wild was his name.
Wild Wolf.
So then we had...
And you could be Big Bull. It could be a team.
Sure. Why not?
Come out to that song about animals that guy just did. Wild Wolf and Big Bull.
Big Bull.
For what's Kane's new group?
Woodland. Woodland Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, it's perfect. It actually fits perfectly. They'd be great tag champs.
They had a show at the Fat Moose Bar and Grill.
See? Look at that.
Did you hear about this?
It looked like an hell of a crowd.
I heard they did one. I heard that, I believe all of Keaton's inaugural shows start out with a title being up for grabs in a battle royal.
Yeah.
And this is no different.
Well, I'll stick with what you know.
Who won?
Helen Wraith.
There you go.
Mm.
Yeah. So we had, Norman the Lunatic cutting a goofy promo with Gordon Sully about his Falls Count Anywhere match with Kevin Sullivan. And then they did the match.
I got to talk about this.
The promo or the match?
The match.
Okay, yes. It was, for the record, Kevin Sullivan versus Norman the Lunatic, Falls Count Anywhere. Brian Alvarez, the floor is yours.
Kevin Sullivan is facing Norman the Lunatic. And Kevin Sullivan, for about the first half of the match, just beats the shit out of this guy. He's pounding him all over the place. He gives him a body slam outside. He gives him a back suplex outside. And first off, you both remember when we used to wrestle Nate.
Yes.
You remember Big Nate? He's like 6'6 or something like that. And I used to German suplex him all over the place.
Yeah.
And then I go back and watch the tape and I was like,
stupid.
I just exposed this entire business with this match right here.
I was gonna make a point on this.
It was so preposterous. So they're actually having a much better match than I would have expected because it's just
really
because it's so physical. It's Sullivan just pounding on him, and so finally they go backstage, and Kevin runs into the women's bathroom,
right?
Perhaps looking for his wife. I don't know. Norman at first won't go in because he's a gentleman.
Sure.
So then he goes in. I'm expecting, you know, bathroom brawl.
Sure.
Instead, he goes in, and you just hear. And Gordon Soley is standing outside and he's holding a microphone to the door.
Right.
And you hear a bunch of clanging. And then suddenly the door just opens and Nick Patrick goes, or no, first Sullivan stumbles out and then Patrick goes, Norman's the winner. No finish, no explanation. This started out as a WCW 1990 match and ended a Raw 2014 match.
And you forgot to mention, Norman came stumbling out of the women's bathroom with a roll of toilet paper in one hand and a toilet seat in the other.
Yes. You didn't like this, Vinny?
I thought this was fucking horrible.
Wow.
So it didn't help that there was a video of Norman going to a petting zoo.
He's a lunatic.
This was a strange promotion in 1990, everyone, let me tell you.
In 1990?
So they're doing this match.
No, saying it was always a strange promotion.
I gotcha.
This may have been the strangest. So Norman's gear was white sweatpants and a t-shirt that did not cover his enormous gut. Always. He was, I realized later, at least wearing a flesh-colored tank top. So it was not just bare flesh jiggling all over the place. So Kevin Sullivan in this match looked awesome. Mainly because Norman the Lunatic looks so goddamn bad. It's horrible. He's not going up for anything. So Sullivan is just, you know, a big, strong freak of a man, slamming him and suplexing him just because he wanted to. I could not believe how bad Norman looked here. And he was just really, really fat and really, really hairy and very, very bad at wrestling. Aside from that, he had a lot going for him.
Other than that, he was great.
And he fought in the ring for a while and they fought up the ramp. And yeah, you did the finish already, which was beyond terrible. I thought this match was awful. I went to look up what won worst match of the year for the 1990. And to be fair, the award went to Sid Vicious versus the Night Soccer.
Oh, God.
Which that was probably worse. I'm pretty sure that was worse. That is a legendary match.
Did we watch that just a couple of...
Very recently.
Yeah.
It's horrific.
It's hilarious.
It's an atrocity to sit through. So then I looked at the other matches that got votes. So the winner was Sid Vicious versus Night Stalker. The other matches that got finished in the top five for worst match of the year, the Master Blasters versus Armstrong and Horner, Ric Flair versus the Junkyard Dog, Giant Baba and Andre the Giant versus Masters and Nitron, and then Baba and Andre versus Demolition. I must watch these matches because I can't believe all five of them were actually worse than Kevin Sullivan versus Norman the Lunatic.
Yeah, you may be surprised.
And all those American matches, by the way, all of them were on Clash of the Champions. So you can't say that nobody saw this match either.
Good work, Craig.
What?
Choosing all these clashes.
I've only chosen two. The first one at number 10. Maybe we'll jump to 20 next time.
Maybe we should jump to 40. What did you think of this match?
I was so upset with Kevin Sullivan because all 4'6" of him is taking a 6'4", 400-pound man and slamming him and suplexing him. You've got to be kidding me. It looked absolutely ridiculous, and I was upset that Kevin Sullivan was getting himself over in this ridiculous match.
That's another viewpoint. I would say that Kevin Sullivan is 4'6" in both dimensions, and that's a good thing. He was a thick, thick, strong, powerful dude.
Oh, yeah. That's a good thing, he says.
In this case, I was fine with him slamming Norman around. He looked like a guy who could body slam Norman the Lunatic.
I just want to know whose idea it was to make a flesh-colored triple XL tank top.
That's a good
because
question.
That person.
You know how I always say...
What was your goal?
You know how I always say dress for your size? Mostly to Vinny. Vinny, back me up here.
You have said that to me, yes.
Okay.
What does that mean?
It means I'm fat.
I mean... Yes, Craig?
This getup they put Norman in did him no favors.
Please explain to me an outfit that would have done him favors. Yes.
A muumuu.
What he wore is Bastion Booger, perhaps?
No. But
did
something,
him no favors either.
Something better had to have been around.
Around?
Yes, that's why I said around.
Go ahead, Vinny. Next bout.
All right, things improved significantly from there.
Mm. Vinny's like a ring announcer, reading off these bouts.
Terry Funk buried people for not helping him earlier. He brought out Lex, saying Lex would have helped him. So Luger's point here, I'm going to do Lex a favor and summarize his point, because he did not do a good job of getting it across. He was the heel U.S. champion, but he'd also been wrestling Ric Flair forever. He did not want Sting to get a title shot and win the belt, especially after he, Luger, had been wearing Flair down for months. So he ordered Sting to back out of the match, just as Flair had. And then he lost his train of thought for a bit, and Funk did his best to talk and kill some time so Luger could collect his thoughts. Then Luger said he would be defending the U.S. title in a bit, which in fact was not true, and Funk cut him off, plugged the upcoming tag match, and Luger sat there with a look on his promo like he knew this promo sucked.
It's funny because he was going along just fine. Then he...
I think the fans were chanting, "We want Sting," and it threw him off.
I see.
That's what I think happened.
I see.
Let's do about 10 minutes on Luger's hair in this section.
Luger's hair was great.
A long mullet that had almost a pompadour feathered down the middle look on both sides.
Yeah.
That was great.
It was
Lex Luger's haircut for most of this era.
Welcome to the 90s.
And it kind of bouffant up a little bit and then swept to the sides on both.
Golden tresses.
Very, very pretty.
If they had a fan blowing in the ring, I would have fallen in love.
Yeah.
Bad English. Not the band.
He was recreating Luger's promo right there.
Yeah. So earlier in the show, in the rap promo that we tried to play for you all and failed, they plugged a Road Warriors versus Skyscrapers match at the pay-per-view. Then the Road Warriors came out to wrestle the Skyscrapers. Mm-hmm. It was Dan Spivey and Mean Mark Callis. The Road Warriors came out to a wacky video where they were destroying cars with jackhammers and stuff.
God only knows why.
Out of all the songs that got edited off the network, Iron Man made it.
Well, I think it was actually a very poor Iron Man ripoff.
It was a cover.
It was not the Black Sabbath version.
Yeah.
But it was Iron Man. The skyscrapers, I love this. Their hometown was Metropolis. Mm. It's a giant city. So Mark Callis, for the four of you who are not aware, would go on to greater fame as The Undertaker. Watching The Undertaker versus the Road Warriors was bizarre, but boy, did he jump off the screen.
Man, this guy was such an athlete.
He was big, he was scary, great look, and he could fucking move.
Very green, though.
Yeah?
He was very green.
He was green, but he was not horrible.
No.
There was...
He was a perfectly competent green pro wrestler.
He had everything. And it worked out well for him.
And he was alive back then. So.
He had not yet died.
In fact, it looked like he'd been tanning because his back was sunburned.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, he's probably very happy to get a dead man gimmick.
So they worked over Hawk for a while, and Animal made a comeback full of dropkicks and power slams, and it broke down into a four-way, and somewhere in here, the ref got laid out, and the skyscrapers ended up destroying the Road Warriors with the chairs and leaving them laying, which led to the rematch. This was fun.
You know, the skyscrapers are killing the Road Warriors with chair shots, and they're doing the old gimmick where... Yeah, the dude's on the ground and you swing the chair and it hits the mat on the other side of his head. Mm-hmm. So it looks like you're just smashing the dude's head in with chair shots, but you don't actually hit the guy. And, you know, I know that chair shots are banned, but bring this back.
Yeah.
It's a trick. This is what it used to be. You pretend to hit him in the head with a chair shot. And then you can get an angle over, but you don't actually hurt anybody. A novel concept, it's to crazy, be sure.
Crazy.
Yes.
This is my son's very first introduction to the Road Warriors.
Yeah, what'd he say? Why do they dislike cars?
Ron screaming from the ring or from the room?
He saw him come on the screen as they were walking out. These two jacked up, just these guys were yoked at the time.
Yes.
Just massive. Cameron took one look at him. He goes, "Those guys are cool, Dad."
Wow.
And then they started wrestling, and they did the Doomsday Device there at the end. New favorite tag team.
A new favorite tag team.
I think so.
Mm. You're going to have to smarten that kid up after a while, Craig. Don't give him these unrealistic expectations.
That's right. Show him the Rockers.
I was just going to talk about. Go on, Vinny. Tell me about Doom. I'll tell you about Doom.
Let him do it.
The video game, or?
This is my favorite tag team of all time this week.
The really bad rock movie.
Doom was so awesome in this match with the Steiners. Just two giant dudes pounding on the Steiners. I just thought this was great. They're just out there just beating the crap out of fools. And it was a mask versus title match. Mm-hmm. And it was no secret who Doom was.
They openly said it's the worst kept secret in wrestling.
Yeah. Yes. And they're doing this match in the finish. First off, the match itself, I just thought this was such a great tag team match. I loved this match. And they do this finish where Rick keeps trying to unmask Butch Reed throughout the match. Mm-hmm. And finally, he has him in a headlock. And Butch Reed is supposed to shove him off into the ropes. And as he's being shoved off, he unmasks him.
Right.
But he shoves him off and Rick doesn't have a good grip. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't unmask him.
Right.
So without missing a beat, Rick bounces off the ropes. And in running back, he yanks it off.
That's tremendous.
Butch Reed sells this as if fire has been thrown in his face. Steiner then proceeds to put his mask on, run him into Ron Simmons, and then do a rolling reverse cradle for the pinfall. Mm-hmm. I could watch this match 1,000 times. I would watch this match so many times on the WWE Network that it would become pixelated and snowflaked and static for everybody else watching on the network. That's how many times I would watch this match over and over again. It was so awesome. They unmask Doom 2,
yeah,
which I don't know how they could figure out Doom 1 and Doom 2. And it is Farouk.
Yes.
At which point, Jim Cornette screams, "How humiliating."
Yeah.
I always find that so funny. How humiliating to be revealed to be you. Mm. That must suck. This match was awesome.
I like shortly after Doom's debut, it was probably Ross, but one of the announcers said neither of them warranted being the second guy on the team. So he called them Doom 1A and Doom 1B.
Wow.
Yes. That didn't last. But
WCW had two giant black dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then one day they both vanished and Doom appeared.
That's right. Who could it be? You did not mention that Doom, and I'm pretty sure this was their original music. They had a fat ass saxophone.
Oh my God. This music was awesome. I would give anything if Doom returned to WWE today.
Yeah.
I bet you that doesn't happen.
Why?
So, I bet you that doesn't happen.
Come on.
You know what I thought was interesting? Scott Steiner.
Yes.
I pulled up Google Images because my wife did not believe me.
Yeah.
That was the same Scott Steiner. Man.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He's had a transformation.
It's a different person.
No, same guy.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, Scott was once an amazing athlete who would pick up a guy at Ron Simmons size and suplex him onto his head, and then turn around and hit a standing Frankensteiner.
Right.
He was a freak. Brian talked about it. This was a very physical match. Ron Simmons attempted at one point to spinebuster Scott through the ring, and then he took him outside and started punching him in the face. And either he has the best work punches I've ever seen, or he was punching Scott Steiner really hard in the face.
I'm going to go with B.
I'm going to go with C. I don't care. It's great.
Yeah, this was very physical. Yeah.
Now, I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Uh-huh.
Am I the only one that just could not stand Nick Patrick as a referee?
I never really noticed him.
I just thought he was terrible. I just hated the slide in on the side and do the count all the way over his own body, having to have his hand underneath the shoulder. It just killed near falls to me. He looked like he was out of position half the time. I just never thought he was that good a referee.
Well, I've always heard that if you don't notice the referee in the match, then he's doing his job.
Well, I notice him every single time he did anything.
I didn't even notice it was Nick Patrick in the ring.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. It's hard to miss. Proceed, Vinny.
They recap the Sting segment from earlier, and then solely interviewed Flair and the Andersons. And Ole warned Sting his time was up and he had to make a decision. And then Flair ranted and raved for a while and it was awesome.
So you had Ole laying down the facts.
Mm-hmm.
Arn just sat there.
Mm-hmm.
And Flair was out of his mind and everybody else had to reel him in. That's the three of us.
Hey, you just compared me to Arn Anderson. I will take that.
We are the four
I will absolutely
horsemen.
Take that.
We just need a fourth guy.
We need Gordon Solie.
It'd have to be Wang. We all triple team him. Isn't that how it works?
Craig and I just exchanged an awkward glance.
And then we watch One Night in China together.
I ain't falling for that again.
So anyway. Was the main event not an awesome match? Am I the only one?
It was very chaotic.
I love this match.
The six dudes in the ring ended up busting their ass. It was Buzz Sawyer and the Dragon Master, who, as you alerted me, was Kendo Nagasaki, and, of course, the Great Muta, versus Ric Flair and the Andersons. Crowd hated the Horsemen, so they were cheering for the other guys who were heels. But it started off with Buzz Sawyer. I have not seen much Buzz Sawyer.
You saw a lifetime worth in this match.
He went above and beyond. He was chopping the fuck out of dudes, and then when it came time to go for him to go in the cage, he would like lead with his face into the cage over and over again.
I loved this match because you had two essentially heel teams. This was the opposite of a babyface match. It was a heel match.
I can write that down.
So all six guys just blatantly broke every rule in the book.
Well, that too, yes.
They just took turns eye-raking each other. They did every dirty trick in the book. And finally, like, Sting comes down, which Vinny will talk about in a moment, and Flair goes after Sting, and they have this whole schmoz. And you've got, like, Flair halfway up the cage on one side, and Sting and the crew halfway up on the other side, and they're jaw-jacking and everything like that. And meanwhile, in the ring, all of the heels hate each other so much that they don't give a shit what's going on with Ric Flair and Sting.
Right.
And so they just start beating the crap out of each other again. It's just like, we're gonna beat each other until someone's dead. And then we got the finish. I thought this match was great. If this were Raw, you'd have two heel teams, and they'd like figure out which guy was the babyface team, and then they'd do a traditional match, get the heat, blah, blah, blah. That was not this match. This was six diabolical men fighting each other.
It was kind of this match. because they did, in fact, have Buzz Sawyer and Dragon Master do the first like 3 or 4 minutes. And the crowd had hated the Horsemen more because of what they had done to Sting. Mm-hmm. And then when Mutah tagged in,
yeah,
they went nuts. They were very happy to see him. And of course, he was awesome. So, yeah, everyone busted their ass in this match. That's for sure. I love that when Flair was on the top rope taunting Sting, Muta in the other corner decided to climb the top rope too, just because.
Sure.
So Buzz Sawyer, as noted,
get out of the way.
As noted, was a madman. He took a backdrop into the cage. And if you know anything about backdrops and cages, you know there was nowhere else for him to go but straight down onto his head. And he recovered from that. He went to the top of the cage in 1990, mind you. He kind of the very top, stood there, raised his hands above his head, arched his back like Jimmy Snuka. Just that was terrifying. I expected him, honestly, to teeter over the other side and fall to the floor. Thankfully, he did not do that. He missed a top of the cage splash, and they kept on wrestling, and somewhere in all the madness, Arn hit a DDT for the win. And yeah, that was exciting. That was definitely exciting. And the reason this show is historic is because Sting came out once to get Flair, and they pulled him away, and he broke free, and he ran to the cage, and he jumped in the cage, and immediately blew out his knee.
Yeah.
Pay-per-view, main event, out the window.
Yeah.
All the plans had to change. The babyfaces had to act like they were holding him back, when in fact they were holding him up. Mm-hmm. And that was that, and things happen in life. So the match ends.
Yes, go on.
And the bell's ringing, and everyone's still fighting, and they unlock the door, and Flair, trying to save things, goes sprinting out the door, sprinting up the ramp, and just dives onto the pile. Just,
and essentially gets backdropped.
Yeah.
Just flew through the air.
Soaring. So that was nutty. That was quite a show, I guess. Really, it was just the two segments I hated in the middle.
Yeah, I had no problem with this show, Craig. You picked a good one. I enjoyed this show.
The match, I think you guys enjoyed the match more than I did. The spectacle around Sting and Flair was kind of the focal point. And there wasn't much to the match except for the maniac Buzz Sawyer. I much like Vinny, haven't seen much Buzz Sawyer either. Arn's throwing his head into the cage, and he's not putting his hands up.
No, he's a wild man.
His skull is
crazy man,
smacking off of the cage.
Yeah.
And as Vinny said, the backdrop onto his head, the man's just out of his mind. And Muta was a highlight of the show, obviously. Except for one point, he was somebody was tied up in the ropes. I can't remember exactly who it was. Muta jumps up in the air and throws about 4 kicks with both legs. I don't know how to describe it.
He had one hand above him on the cage and one on the rope.
Okay.
And it was essentially riding a bicycle in midair.
Yeah. That looked ridiculous, but I popped anyway. But no, this wasn't a bad show by the end of it. Why did I pick it? I couldn't tell you. But I know we're watching next week because you already picked it, Brian.
Indeed, I did. I did pick it. Let's play a song here, everybody, before we wrap it up. I found a classic. It does not fit this time of year, but oh well. I like it, so I'm going to play it. Here we go. Jeff Hansen, are you ready? Here we go.
Hansen.
Handsome Jeff Hansen.
Okay.
I'm just going to play it.
Then they interviewed AJ, who I believe referred to Sting as Stink.
What the fuck's up with my voice? Here we go.
Stink, you're wrong. Stink, you're wrong. Stink, you're wrong. That's what he said.
Don't blame me.
I hate this show. I just have lost it. Stink was wrong. Stink was wrong. Stink was wrong. And why was he wrong? Because he saved Kurt Angle's life when AJ was trying to kill it.
Yeah.
Winner! That is why Stink was wrong. Stink was wrong is funny. But it's also funny because...
We're giggling now like we were giggling then.
This show's so fucking stupid.
Stink, you're wrong. I guess that was topical since Stink broke his nink or whatever on that show. All right, everybody. Well, we're going to wrap it up. Next week, we'll be back with the S.H.I.E.L.D. documentary and maybe, if I can talk him into it, the first episode of Nitro. And hopefully, we'll have our special guest. I'm going to keep plugging our special guest until our special guest finally comes on the show. And if he never does, I'll just bring in Brent, who was not. Yes, Craig?
I don't know why I'm doing this to myself, but you promised the people we were doing shout-outs this week.
I don't know if I got any.
Dude, it's been 90 minutes.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I'm hating myself right now.
I don't think I got a single shout-out. Hold on, everybody. Calm down, Vinny. No nerd rage. Just relax.
Hey, I'm the one that's got to get up.
All right, I got one shout-out.
There you go.
One shout-out. If you are listening right now as a freeloader and you sign up today, you get a free shout out. Send it to Brian at WrestlingObserver.com. Make sure you put shout out in the subject line. And if you have not signed up and you love this show, I don't know what to tell you, except that there are 6,000 hours of audio in our archives. If you sign up for a year, it is the same price as the WWE Network, which is how much, Craig?
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
$9.99 a month. And we have three times the amount of content of the WWE Network, merely in audio. It's not even counting newsletters and such. This is from Kieran here. He says, my name is Kieran. I have finally signed up. I'm cashing in my shout out. I live here in Waterford, Ireland, Vinny. I totally marked awesome. Out when I heard Vinny talk about the fact that he was here.
I was.
Glad to hear you enjoyed it here, Vinny. Saw all of the wonderful sights around the country. But there is one thing you forgot to talk about. The drinking.
We did take part.
I know most of the world thinks of us Irish as lovable, crazy drunks. So we happily live the gimmick. He wants to know if you have any funny drinking stories from your time there. He says he's training to be a wrestler himself at the moment. He knows it's crazy, but he is 6'7".
Oh, for you.
240 pounds.
Attaboy.
So I feel like I have a shot and I need to go for it. Any advice for an aspiring Irish wrestler?
Keep your mouth shut, kid.
Go to Lance's school, stormwrestling.com. That's right, stormwrestling.com. Vinny, any quick drinking stories before we go?
The only one is there was one point where Bridget had enough of scenic drives and castles, and she determined that we were going to go to a pub and get drunk.
Wow.
And I made an attempt to keep up with her. This is a mistake.
Failed?
And, yeah, and nothing terribly, nothing. I avoided prison or vomiting or any of that. But the next morning, I was hungover and she was fine.
How Irish are you?
A itty bitty teeny weeny bit.
How Irish is she?
A lot.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
There's something about Bridget where, like, she looks like she could drink for 48 straight hours.
Yep.
And not even be buzzed.
It's not quite true. In fact, it is not true, but she has a higher tolerance than I do. That's
she'd,
undoubtedly
she'd do
true.
Better on the Christmas show than you would.
Yes.
All right, everybody. We're going to wrap it up. Thanks for listening live. We will talk to you again after a while.
Good night.
Bye.